Hello. In this video, I'm going to show you, I'm going to explain how to set an anchor for yourself and for other people because the process is the same. It's just about how you facilitate that process. So the first step is to choose a state that you want to be able to get into at any time. And that can be any helpful state. You could choose confident, you could choose calm, you could choose relaxed, you could choose powerful. I know one person who anchors being drunk. So that stage of drunkenness where you're feeling really happy and really relaxed, but before you start to make a fool of yourself and start to feel sick and so on. So she'll go to a party and she'll trigger her drunk anchor. She'll drink water all night and then she'll get in the car and drive home, having changed to her sober anchor and with no ill effects and no problems associated with it. Because it is really just about anchoring that state of feeling happy. So she chooses to call it being drunk and anchors that particular state. So you can choose any state that you want. So the first step is always to choose the state. So I'm going to talk about anchoring to a kinesthetic anchor and using a finger and thumb to anchor to. And this works quite well because, well, we've got at least eight of those different states that we could anchor, and then we've got knuckles and things on the back. But I'll explain more about how to do that specifically in a second. So the first thing to do is to decide what state you want to be in. The next thing you need to do is to re-experience that state. So to imagine that you're there again. And the approach I use to that to do that is to imagine that if you close your eyes, that you can drop down back into that your body almost in that state that you were in, that time when you were in that state. And choosing the time when you were in that state can be quite difficult because for some of us, being confident might have not happened for a very long time. You know, I have a theory that we're born confident, able to try and do anything, because if we weren't confident, we wouldn't learn anything. So I think we're born confident, and our job as parents is almost to knock the confidence out of our children by saying things like, "Don't do that, you'll fall." And you know, and the child's going, "Will I? Oh, it never occurred to me." And we are very good at this, so we need to kind of be aware that we might have to go back quite a long time in our past to feel that state of confidence. And if you've never felt, genuinely have never felt confident before, then what you can do is you can imagine what it would feel like to feel confident and imagine what your body and your emotions would feel like if you're feeling confident and anchor that. Because even if that's not brilliantly confident, it'll be better than you are at the moment. And being able to switch into that confident state would be very useful. So choose the state. Recall a past vivid experience of the state. And as I say, do that by imagining that you're there experiencing that particular time when you felt confident or powerful or whatever state it is that you want to anchor. And I always think it's important to not just go, right, I'm there now, but to be very aware of what you can see around you. Be very aware of what you can hear, whether that's voices for yourself, anything that anyone's saying to you, internal voices, sounds, whatever it may be. And also, how do you feel? And where do you feel that feeling? And just as you feel that feeling, allow it to get stronger and stronger. And once you've done that, you need to provide a specific stimulus at the peak. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second, because the important thing about this is that stimulus can be anything in terms of the senses. It can be a picture, it can be a sound, it can be a word, it can be something that you say to yourself, or it can be a kinesthetic and process, or it can be a spatial anchor, but I'll talk more about spatial anchors later. So the reason that I choose the kinesthetic one is that it's quite easy to do in the sense that we're most of the time we're carrying our limbs around with us, so it's quite easy to access it. Because if I've got a card, I know a friend of mine who has a picture on a card that's a real strong, relaxed anchor that he uses when he goes to the dentist and things. And if you've got a card in your pocket and you've forgotten the card, you know, then you're in trouble, or you've lost it, then you're in trouble. But most of the time, you've got your fingers with you. So provide that specific stimulus at the peak. And at the peak is important. Because as we said, when we showed this diagram in the last video, the closer to the peak you can get, the more intense that that state is going to be. The problem with trying to find the peak and trying to set it at the peak is that the only time we know when that state has peaked in its intensity is when it starts to drop away again. So what I always recommend is that you kind of hold your anchor for a few seconds as it's going up to the peak and as you feel it start to go away again, and then you can release it. So we're trying to capture that peak of the state, of the intensity of the state, because that's the bit we want to actually anchor and be able to recreate and reaccess at any time. So choose a finger and thumb that you're going to use. And I say a finger and thumb as well, because it's quite important that the anchor that you're using is quite sort of surreptitious, that it's something that people aren't going to really notice. Because if in a presentation you're relaxed or your confident anchor is this, well, it's going to look a bit odd if you're doing that in the middle of a presentation. Whereas touching your finger and thumb together, you can do behind your back, you can hold your hands out, it doesn't really matter. And it's a lot easier to do that in a kind of surreptitious way. So choose a finger and thumb that you're going to access it to, and create that stimulus as you feel the state building to its highest intensity. So now we've chosen the state, we've reaccessed that state and experienced that state again. We've provided a specific stimulus at the peak. We've touched our finger and thumb together at the time that it's at its peak. So then what we need to do is we need to break the state. So we need to kind of do something different. Look around, bang on the table, have a drink of water, just to get out of that state. And then what we need to so that you can test it, because then we test it by putting your finger and thumb together and seeing if anything's happened. That's the sort of standard process. I kind of do it slightly differently, because when we get to stage four, which is the break state, I think it's good to do it again, to go back to the start and do it again. So, you know, go back into that time when you felt really confident or powerful or whatever it may be, anchor it at that point, break the state again. And I think that the more times you do it, the stronger the connection is, and the stronger that the easier it is to access the state, and the stronger it is when you actually anchor it. And then we need to test it. And there's a final thing that I do, which I call future pace. And by future pace, I mean, imagine a time in the future when you wouldn't have felt confident, powerful, relaxed, calm, whatever it may be. And imagine that you're in that state then, so you can close your eyes, you can drop back down into that time when you wouldn't have felt confident. And as you let that anxiety or whatever the negative state is build, let it get stronger. And as you feel it getting stronger, then you can trigger your calm anchor and just notice the shift, notice the change. It may only be a small change. It may be a really large change. If it's only a small change, you can intensify the strength of that anchor by doing the whole thing again with another time you felt confident or whatever it may be. And another time, and another time. So we call this stacking. So you're stacking all of those different times on the one finger and thumb, and that makes it much more intense. So that's a useful tip to make it more intense, because what we're trying to do here is, if you have a negative anchor that's this high, what you're trying to do is have a positive anchor that's stronger than it, so that it deflates or it gets rid of the state. It changes that state from very negative to very positive, or even slightly positive. The difficulty comes when the negative state is like up here and the positive state is down here. What you might do is reduce the negative state a bit, but you're probably not going to get rid of it altogether. So that's where stacking and making it more intense is really helpful. So as I say, finger and thumbs are useful because you've got eight of those. You've also got knuckles. There are some things that are really important in terms of making sure this works really effectively, which I'll talk about now. So the first thing to consider when you want to make your anchor really effective is the intensity of the state that you're going to anchor. So choose a really intense state. You know, there's not a lot of point in anchoring slightly calm or mildly confident. Go for a really intense state. Secondly, the timing of when you set that anchor, and we talked about that earlier in terms of holding it for 4 or 5 seconds as you reach the peak of that intensity of emotion and psychological state, and anchor it for that time and then release it. Thirdly, the uniqueness of the anchor is important. If you're choosing finger and thumb, or you're choosing to put a finger on the back of the wrist, or whatever it is that you choose, you need to make sure that it's something that you consciously choose to do rather than it's just part of your idiosyncrasy and the way that you behave generally. So choose something that's unique, because you want to be able to be in control of triggering this anchor and not have it happening when it's not appropriate or you don't want to, but it just does, because it's so strongly connected that every time you trigger this anchor, it will be there. And finally, you need to be able to replicate it exactly. So the replication of that anchor is really important. And as I said before, if your anchor involves driving over the bridge looking at Windermere Lake, it's really, really, really difficult to replicate that in an environment that isn't actually on the Kendal Bypass. So choose something that you can replicate, because if you don't get it right, you don't replicate it exactly, it's a little bit like listening to a cover version of your favorite song. It doesn't have the same impact as the original one, or the version that you hear that makes you tingle, or whatever it is that state is elicited by the music. And that's why I think fingers are really useful if you're going to set a kinesthetic anchor, because if you choose a spot on the back of your hand, for instance, it's quite easy to not get quite the same spot the next time. And if you don't get quite the same spot, you don't have quite the same reaction to it. Whereas with a finger, it's easy to get the same finger and exactly the same spot. So that's the process. Essentially, the process is the same if you use it for yourself or you facilitate that for somebody else. The only difference really is that if you facilitate it for someone else, you don't need to know what state somebody's trying to elicit. So it can be completely content free. And I've worked with clients where we've called the state Eric or we've called it X, because it's a lot easier for them to access it if they don't have to talk about it in terms of explain what it is or describe it. So that's the process. Have fun with that. Try it out. And I look forward to seeing you in the next session when we talk about anchoring people more covertly rather than what we've just been doing, which is really overt.